The musty Normans didn't have everything their own way. The living legend was an English freedom fighter, Hereward the Wake. The truth is, Hereward went on fighting against William the Conqueror's forces when other English leaders had given up. Hereward joined forces with Danish invaders and robbed Peterborough Abbey to stop its riches falling into the hands of the Normans. The rebels hid in the marshes, where the Normans eventually surrounded and captured them, but Hereward escaped and pretty well disappeared from history. Of course, the Middle Ages weren't all about knights and fighting. Ordinary people, peasants like you or me, well, like you anyway, peasants, women and children, had a cheerless time of it. In 1322, Bernard de Irlande's baby daughter was playing in her father's shop. A passing pig wandered into the shop, bit the baby on the head and killed her. What a swine. British peasant children had no clothes at all until they could walk. Before then, they were kept warm by being laid in front of the fire. Curious little crawlers ended up cooked. But even the ones who lay still could have an accident. An old law said, "If a woman place her infant by the hearth, and a man put water in the cauldron, and it boileth over, and the child be scalded to death, the woman must be punished for her neglect." If there was a law against it, then there must have been a lot of cases of it happening. Hey, notice, it's the woman who gets the blame and not the man. But that's another story. Parents didn't have the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents to advise them. In Canterbury, some very young children were left by the river and drowned. In another case, an archer was practicing his shooting and accidentally shot a child. Worst of all were the beggars who broke their children's limbs so the public would give generously to the twisted, suffering little child. The parents were given advice on dealing with troublesome girls, and it went, "If your daughter will rebel and will not bow down low, if any of them do some wrong, then do not curse or blow. Just take a large rod in your hand and beat them in a row until they cry for mercy and until their guilt they know." Horrible History's health warning. Do not let your class teacher see that bit of advice. The kids didn't even have any television in those days, but maybe they had some good stories around the fireside. If your mum or dad was good at telling stories, then you may have enjoyed the story of Prince Hugo. Once upon a time, there was a brave young knight called Prince Hugo. There was nothing our young Hugo liked better than doing a bit of embroidery. Hugo made all his own dresses and let his hair grow down to his waist. "He's a bit odd," the courtiers in his castle whispered to one another. But Hugo had his reasons. He didn't let the gossip needle him. Needle him! Hugo could have passed for a girl, which, as it happened, was exactly what he wanted. You see, he'd heard about the poor Princess Hilda. She was the most beautiful, clever, and tragic princess in the whole of Normandy, maybe even in the whole world. Hilda's father, Count Walgund, had locked her in a tall tower. The tower was in a forest, and the forest was infested with the wildest wolves in the West. Count Walgund was so devoted to his dear daughter that he didn't want to lose his lovely lass to some layabout lout of a lad. He didn't want her running off and getting married, unless it was to a perfect husband. One day, Hugo put on his best frock, embroidered by himself with a squillion sequins he'd sewn on, and arrived at Count Walgund's castle. "I am a lost lady whose homeland has been conquered by a cruel king. I only ask a bed for the night, good count." Before the cool count could answer, his countess cried, "Look at that dress. What a work of needlewoman's wondrous art. You simply must teach our daughter how to embroider like that, mustn't she, count?" Oh, now we know that's exactly what our clever little Hugo was after all the time, don't we? Next day, he was in the tower and teaching the lovely Hilda the ropes. Well, the threads, if you know what I mean. Hilda loved her new chum, loved her deep voice, her strong hands, her broad shoulders. "Excuse me," Hilda said after a week, "but would I be correct in thinking that you are really a man disguised as a woman?" Hugo clicked his long fingers. "Curses! How did you guess?" "I think it's probably the beard that gave you away," Hilda confessed. Hugo rubbed his rough chin and sighed. "Sorry, you don't mind, do you?"
"Mind?" Hilda cried. "I'm chuffed to fluffy fairy feathers. I think you're gorgeous."
"Oh, you're not so bad yourself," Hugo admitted. Before another week was out, they were secretly married. Then Hugo declared, "I have to leave now. I must find a way to persuade your father that I will make him a good son-in-law."
"That's a bit sudden, my pet," Hilda moaned. But she saw the sense in what he said.
Hugo chopped his hair and swapped his female dress for male chain mail. Off he rode on crusade, where he fought side by side with Count Walgund. They were gone a long time. A long, long time. Well, a couple of years anyway. And things had been happening in the tall tower.
"Come home with me, my brave young friend," Count Walgund said to Hugo.
Now we know that's exactly what our clever little Hugo was after all the time, don't we? But as they rode close to the tall tower, Walgund saw a wolf cross the path and cried,
"After it! Kill it! We can't have wolves wandering my pass and putting my people in peril!"
So they chased the wolf, who turned to face the fierce knights. The wolf dropped a bundle she was carrying and slipped off into the dark, dark trees. But the knight saw the white linen bundle wriggling. They stopped and picked it up. It was a baby boy.
"Good grief! Wonder who you belong to, my little man."
Walgund warbled.
"What a wonderful child. Wouldn't mind one like that for my grandson. Let's visit my daughter in the nearby tower. See if she can care for it till we find the rightful mother."
When they reached the tower and unlocked the door, Hilda rushed out. Was she going to fuss over her father? Was she going to hug Hugo? No. She ran across the courtyard and snatched the baby from the two men and wailed,
"My baby! The washerwoman left the kitchen door open this morning and he crawled off into the forest. I was sure he'd be killed by wolves by now."
"Your baby?" Count Walgund said in wonder. "Who's the father?"
Hilda raised her arm and pointed at Prince Hugo.
"Why, Hugo here."
The Count was confused, you can count on that. But when he finally understood, he happily hugged his daughter, his grandson, and his son-in-law.
"What a day," Hugo sighed. "I've gained a son I never knew I had."
"What a day,"
Walgund cried.
"I've gained a son and a grandson I never knew I had."
"I've waited for your return before I named the child," Hilda said. "What should we call him?"
Walgund looked at Hugo. Hugo looked at Walgund. The two knights looked at one another. They nodded. They said it together.
Wolf, of course!
Hilda and Hugo lived happy ever after.